Gracious God, our life on the other side of resurrection is a mystery. Yet you come to us today in that which we can see, hear, and taste. Open our eyes and ears to hear your life-giving word. Amen. Well, today we move further into November from our celebration of All Saints Sunday, last Sunday. Even if difficult, it was good to remember and name those from our congregation, those from our families, and others who have died this past year. It was good to remember that they are now part of a heavenly host that goads us on in our work and life here on earth. It is also a reminder, as is Ash Wednesday later in the church year, that we too will one day follow these saints by our own deaths. I am discovering by personal experience that as one grows older, reflections about death become ever deeper and more personal, raising significant new questions. Yet, even young people today wonder about the death of our democracy in the United States as we have known it. Young people, as much as if not more than their elders, are concerned and serious about death from the easy possession and use of guns and what must be done to begin to reverse our culture of gun violence in the United States. Obvious that it is the young people in our world today who are most concerned about the death of our planet and the devastating consequences of climate change. So it is that Jesus comes to us today, who are by death and sin surrounded with grace unbounded, as the first verse of the hymn, "Rise, Shine, You People," proclaims. In today's gospel reading, Jesus, like Job ages before him, is in the midst of a palpable tension that very soon will lead to death. He is in Jerusalem after making his triumphal entry and is now teaching in the temple. He is being questioned and challenged repeatedly by those seeking to undermine his authority and his obvious influence on the general populace. The Sadducees, an elite, wealthy, and educated group of Jewish leaders, come to Jesus intending to ridicule speculation about an afterlife because, as we are told, they do not believe in a resurrection. While not believing in resurrection, they do have very set ideas about eternal life, which is believed specifically sons to carry on one's name and possession of land. Thus, they pose an outlandish hypothetical situation based on what was called the levirate or brother-in-law rule, in which if a married man died without children, his brother, in this case brothers, were obligated to take in his widowed wife, impregnate her to create and raise children, especially sons, to carry on the name and legacy of the dead brother or brothers. Obviously, in this case of the rule gone awry, one would not want to be either the woman nor one of the brothers. The question posed to Jesus by the Sadducees is an offense to our modern sensibilities. Whose wife, which in that time and age meant whose property will she be if she was legitimately married to seven brothers? Which one in the end will own her? Thankfully, we no longer consider women, formerly enslaved African Americans and displaced Native Americans, among others, to be the property of other human beings, though they once were considered so. Yet, at the same time, we have to confess the modern parallel to slavery in our time, which is the deplorable practice of human trafficking. Unfortunately, this is alive and well in our country and world today in the form of forced labor and the sex trade. This is part of the sin and death which surrounds us still today. Jesus, in his response to the Sadducees, does not get trapped into a right or wrong, yes or no answer, which is what they are hoping for. Rather, his answer reveals that their assumption about the future and the unknown will be the same as the present and the known, and that is a trap for them. While living humans are capable of giving birth, even this has the potential to break down, to which their hypothetical situation points. Only God can give birth to life from death. That's what resurrection is about. When we limit life to that which can be reproduced by human effort, we limit God to having to work within human constraints and literally end up at a dead end with no possibility of life beyond death. Resurrection, however, pushes us beyond the limits of our imaginations and perceived realities. It partners with us to bring into being that which is new, that which may have been previously perceived as being impossible, like the University of Oregon women's basketball team beating that was going to happen. Resurrection births life from death. It frees that which is frozen, cold, and entrapped. C.S. Lewis used this imagery in what was thought to be a permanent state of winter in his imagined land of Narnia under the rule of the evil white witch. Or to use a totally opposite image that comes from our scripture today, God spoke to Moses out of a burning bush that, though it burned, was not consumed. Moses discovered life can be found again on the other side of death. Moses learned that resurrection can look like not being consumed by that which should consume you. This past week, people in Paradise, California, marked the first anniversary of the destruction of their town by fire, and they are slowly discovering that life can be found again on the other side of death. New life is being birthed from death. In the Sadducees' story, the woman outlives the men whose lives were supposed to enhance her own. Resurrection is where God is across generations, across circumstances. Resurrection is also intended to mend the misunderstanding that we ever belong to anyone but God in the first place. Of course, the woman in the story also dies with no one on earth left to claim her. Her resurrection, however, does not rely on the seven brothers whose mission was to create progeny. And their seed in her does not give birth to eternal life. Jesus' death and resurrection is that which births life now and in the future. Job's vision of seeing God after the destruction of his flesh by his side with his own eyes points to life beyond suffering and death. Jesus not only demonstrated resurrection by rising from the dead, but also preached that because we belong to God, we belong to life and cannot die. Freed from dead-end thinking, thinking about our lives and world from the perspective of resurrection leads us to partner with God and actually bringing about new life for us, for others, and for our world. We need God, and God needs us to birth life from death. God needs us, and we need God in the ongoing work of mending a tattered universe. Won't you join in on the resurrecting life that God intends for us all? Having been fed by God's word, we now continue our worship not only in song, but by professing our faith in the resurrection and then celebrating the meal that is the promise of that eternal life. Thanks be to God. Amen.